Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on.
GAA.
Now to Gaelic games, and 32 recommendations were proposed today as the GAA unveiled their fixtures task force report. GAA journalist Damien Lawler is standing by, but first, our Gaelic games correspondent Brian Carty spoke to GAA president John Horan.
This has to go forward because we're in the middle of a trial phase at the moment with our football and hurling championships. So we have to bring a proposal that takes effect in 2021, and it's emanating from this document that those proposals will come. It's courageous, I think, on the part of the association to have come up with this, and I think the committee under Eddie O'Sullivan's chairmanship have to be complimented for the actual work that they put in. And they consulted widely within the organisation. And if you look at it, a lot of ideas that have actually been peddled in the public domain over the last number of years are actually given consideration in this document.
And the key objective is to strike a better balance, more certainty to the playing of club games alongside inter-county fixtures.
Absolutely. If you go back a couple of years ago, you know, between April and October, there was only possibly 5 weekends available for the hosting of club games. That has now increased under this document to 15, and that's given great consideration. So I think the criticism of the divide between the intercounty and the club, I think, has been somewhat addressed in this. It's not a perfect solution, it never will be, because of the fact that we play two codes, hurling and football, and because of the numerous age grades and college competitions that we allow our players to play in.
I see that one of the key recommendations is the formation of an oversight unit. What will their function be?
Well, presently the provincial councils are obliged to cast an oversight on the counties and the programmes. So this is to give that actual idea more bite, if you would like to say, and get people to buy into this. And, you know, it's a bit like, as I said earlier at the interview, it's a bit like wearing your seatbelt. It had to be enforced before people eventually culturally came around to the change. You know, it's a good idea. And if we can get this enforcement initially, maybe people will then come around and see things in a different manner.
Would the oversight committee have a role in ensuring, you know, that the club and county, that the club players or the county players are available to the club?
Absolutely. One of the proposals is that the programmes from every county are now will be submitted to this oversight group by December rather than February, and that will give them the opportunity to see what's actually planned. And then, obviously, by being in close proximity within each province, they'll be able to identify where problems are arising and see to address them.
Now, what about the possible formats for the football championship? Two given in the report.
Yeah, well, look, you know, one is the flip of the league and the championship, and the other is to create 4/8s. These are two ideas that have been, you know, going around within the organisation for a period of time, but they've been teased out now, and all the pluses and minuses of each of those proposals have been put together in this, and they've been tied into a fixture calendar. So they're real in this document. It's not just an idea of someone speculating.
But the first format, you know, would recommend maybe splitting the provinces. How would that work? And should there be opposition to that?
Yeah, that will be a challenge for that proposal to be adopted. And obviously, we didn't tie down any particular reason for how it was going to be done, for the very good reason that ultimately people would go on the defensive against the document. But I think it should form part of the discussion when we go on the consultative process throughout the country with the membership.
And the second one then, the repositioning, if you like, of the Allianz League to the summer months.
Yeah, well, everybody says that, you know, the league is the most competitive part of our actual programme, and we're trying to look at it in the context of having that in the better weather time of the year, and but still retain the provincial championships and have them earlier in the year.
What's the most significant one for you? Is Uachtaráin coming Luke Clanscale?
I actually think the one I've just spoken about, the playing of the leagues in the summer, would actually be, you know, a way forward. I think we've always looked on it and said that if we were to form four provinces now, we would never have done it in the inequity of the numbers that are there presently. So that would be one way of addressing that. Still retain the provincial championships earlier in the year and allow the teams to play in divisions in which they're playing of equal strength.
The Tier 2 football championship will be contained in the proposals, will go ahead. Is there any doubt about that?
No, absolutely. And that's why when that negative commentary was put on the fact that we were going ahead with the Tier 2 championship this year, I was always confident from working closely with this committee that Tier 2 was going to form a part of each and every one of their proposals. And they probably were more confident in attaching it to this document by the fact that the 75% to 25% decision was taken at that special Congress.
Did you learn anything new yourself when they came back, Eddie and his committee? Is there anything that you thought was interesting, maybe that you hadn't perhaps thought of before?
No, well, I'm not saying I'm an expert in fixtures or anything sure. like that, but surely the teasing out that they did, and when you read all the different aspects of it and the challenges and the pluses and minuses of the different ideas, they really did their homework, and it just shows you how complex the whole process was and what a great job these individuals have done for us as an organisation.
The club players very unhappy, they walked out of talks. What's your view on that?
I think today is a day about our proposals to be on the table, and I'd prefer to leave it at that.
Will you talk with them at some stage, the CPA?
We're going on the road with our roadshow, and we hope to consult with the membership, and they've always wanted consultation with the membership. That was always our idea, and it's a bit disappointing that they're not coming with us. I mean, the organisation was given the opportunity. If you remember, I went on Morning Ireland one morning and announced this was happening and gave the actual email address for the membership of the organisation to engage with this group. So,
like, and was there a massive response to that?
There was a considerable response, and all these things, you never get a total involvement of everybody, because it takes an effort on the part of people to put their ideas together, and you'd have to have a certain background knowledge in fixtures before you could feel comfortable to put it in. But no, there was a huge positive response.
And you had some very well established officials on the committee within the GAA as well.
Well, it was always my view that if you were putting people in the room to deal with this, they had to have an expertise and a background in fixtures, and if they didn't have that, their contribution really wouldn't be worth it.
Can I ask you about splitting the counties? If we look at Connacht, Galway, Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim, Roscommon, then the Accommodate as well. I suppose that's not the right thing to say, but New York are there and London. With the new proposals, if you do split the provinces, New York wouldn't be involved in that situation. And yet the GAA always say New York and the overseas unit so important.
And that is a point that will be debated, and we will obviously have to engage with New York. But the practicalities of it is that New York gets one game in New York every year.
Sure.
That has been the way, and I'm quite sure that we wouldn't take that game away from New York under these proposals. We will find a way that New York will get a match over there. The possibility would be that the winners of a Tier 2 championship may well go over and play New York for what would be considered something along the lines of an Intercontinental Cup.
Now, that was Brian Carty there, RTE's Gaelic Games correspondent, speaking to the GAA President John Horan about the 32 recommendations. Now, Damien Lawler, sports journalist, joins us on the line. Damien, 32 recommendations is a huge amount to go through, but just we might as well just start with what your standout ones were.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Intercontinental Cup anyway, Marie. I would feel that the Football League going to the summer months, that is really exciting. That is really potentially very exciting, and I feel that if provincial councils can be swayed to play their competitions at an earlier date and still hold relevance, still be able to fund the counties, still have a remit, and if they're reassured about their position and they can release the summer then for a league championship format, that really stands out to me. I think it could be very exciting, and I think that, you know, you'd have evenly played games, hopefully at a good time of year, build up a nice head of steam over a period of time. That could definitely work. Down at the very, very other end, people won't spot this straight away, but having under 17 competition as developmental, that's a massive, massive step, because it goes, we had a conversation on this show last week, it goes against everything that underage coaches in this country, 95% of them, go with. It's all about winning, win at all costs. In Belgium, there's a head of technical development called Chris van der Hagen, and he came up with a policy a few years ago, and he was probably treated with scepticism at the start, but every grade under age 18 years of age was considered developmental. There was no points, there was no league tables, and it took a while for that to come true, but people bought into it. And Belgium football is right up there in terms of being a market and world leader in what they do. Now, it will be some job to sell this to the GAA, but it shows me that people out there are thinking in the right way, because I've seen the young minors coming off the field after an All-Ireland final, Marie. They're 16, 17 years of age. They're kids. To inflict that sort of torture on them, huge crowds, pressure that age, to me, you might get a quick fix in terms of winning a title and drive on, but for those who suffer in it, the consequences are massive. So just from each end of the spectrum, there's two things that maybe stick out for me straight away.
Damien, Ruby looks like he's just taken a gulp of sour milk. Are you all right?
No winning, Ruby.
But part of playing sport is learning how to lose as well. It's just not learning about winning. And you have to learn to lose, and to lose in a good manner. Stand up and take it. Shake somebody's hand. I wouldn't agree with that at all. I think if you're only teaching people how to win, I don't know, is that a great way forward? I'm sorry.
Well, what I'd say to that, Ruby, is from what I can see, from being a coach myself, from 9-10 years of age, it's bred into them that they have to win or lose. And all I'm saying is, somewhere along the line, maybe around the time you're doing your leaving cert, wouldn't it be a breath of fresh air? Now, I don't think it has a hope in hell of getting through, but wouldn't it be a breath of fresh air if there was this developmental competition brought in and all the pressure at an exam time was alleviated? I just think it's worth looking at. It's worth a discussion and a debate. And I know I'm talking to three sports people in the studio, so it's a hard sell. I'm aware of that.
But you're dead
from
right.
My perspective, everything.
I just take it.
Yeah,
my own.
Everything in the GAA from. Yeah.
Sorry, Damien. Just from my own background, like Munster Senior Cup in school, like a brilliant result could be 9-6 or 3-0, and but you actually learn how to win. You learn how to perform at the top back. But then I look at my team that won a senior cup, and only three of us go on to play senior rugby because everyone, like you're saying, is drained from it. So you bring on three guys, but you lose the rest.
You wouldn't think that getting three
like there's
of the
a balance
cup
to be
team. Sorry, Damien, it was good going to get to international level. You won't get three out of every club in the country to get to the county level either. So I think getting three off one senior cup team was fair going. Sorry, we're on a GAA chat and I'm ranting back to rugby.
Yeah, sorry.
But
take control of
okay,
it.
I'm back, lads, I'm back. So, Damien, I know the under-20s is a competition that you feel very passionate about. So they're going to run it as a national competition, no provincials. What do you think?
Yeah, I can see what they're trying to do. The fact that they're trying to bring in an under-20 national league, that's coming in January. I mean, that's just bizarre to me. So I don't think that's going to work. Under-20 as a national competition, I'm not sure. I think it's going in the right direction in that at senior level, we're looking for an open draw. So I think this is a step on that road, in fairness. But to me, the under-20 football competition, they don't know what to do with it. They haven't got a clue and they're trying to find a place for it in the calendar. And maybe since they went back from under 21, I think it has been affected. There's no point in me saying otherwise. So I think that has to find a place in the calendar and maybe not be moved around. An under 20 league coming in the first week of January next year, I can't get around that at all. That's not going to work anyway, Marie.
Damien, do you think just at the under 17s, if you are under 17, you shouldn't be allowed play senior or on the under 20s, and then if you do play on the under 20s but play for the seniors, you shouldn't be allowed to play in the 20s? Should you be pushed into sections like that?
Yeah, like if people can stick by it, Ruby, that's the way to go about it. I mean, Kildare won the under 20 title in the inaugural year. Kerry would argue had they got David Clifford or Sean O'Shea that they quite possibly would have won it. And now the senior players are allowed to play with the under-20s this year. So I think really at that age, and you guys probably know it too, and even looking in, you are at risk of burnout maybe around the 19 to 21 mark, in my opinion. You could be playing with 7 or 8, 9 teams and you have exams on top of that as well. Somebody somewhere needs to take control of that. There has to be clear parameters put on top of where a player can actually perform, and otherwise every manager would be trying to grab him, Ruby. So that's kind of what's happening. Three teams could be looking for a player now in January at that age group, and that's unfair because that's going to lead to burnout and it's going to lead to injuries as well, particularly playing on pitches at this time of year.
Damien, you mentioned it in your first answer about trying to persuade the provincial councils to move their competition so that we can have some summer league football. On the outset, from knowing the way these things operate, it doesn't seem like it's a realistic thing that could happen. What do you think?
I would take on board what you're saying there, Marie. And I'd also say if Central Council is going to be behind this, it has every chance of going through. So there's two options for a senior championship going forward. And I would say that the Football League in summer is the most likely to get through. And particularly if the provincial championships can be played earlier that year. They have been a great bastion of the GAA for a long, long time, the four councils. And, you know, huge funding goes through their channels. They have a role to play. So the big fear, I think, from their behalf was that they'd be abolished or got rid of altogether. I think this report keeps the status quo there. It just changes things around a little bit. I think overall, I have to say that surprised, you know, that the CPA left this discussion and they weren't happy with it. But I have to say there's some good ideas in there, Marie. I mean, there's a few things you'd pick out. So I think it has a good chance of getting through, actually, that league one, especially if the Central Council guys are behind it. Usually when they put their weight to something, it tends to do very well at a Congress vote.
And Damien, just staying with rules and changes, the Camogie Association also released details of 6 new rules that they're going to trial in next year's league campaigns, including scoring with the hand, quick puck outs, taking frees from the hand. Anything stand out to you?
I look at dropping the hurley for a start. That is an eyesore on any sport, and particularly in a skillful game like camogie and hurling. So players can no longer do that, and they can't hand pass the ball into the net. That's great as well. I think, Marie, take away this year's final, which was quite decent. The two before that were awful. The referees dominated each game. There was no contact allowed whatsoever. It was falling way behind ladies football as a spectacle, and the ladies football crowds had nearly doubled. In fact, they had more than doubled. You know, nearly 50,000 up to a ladies football final, maybe around the 19,000-20,000 mark for Camogie. It went up this year. But I have to say, bring in a bit of contact. These are elite players. Their strength and conditioning is up to a certain level. Quicken the game up. Stop the referees blowing whistles. And I think you've got a great, great, great chance of improving that game. And I think actually that's another good move. And Liam O'Neill and people like that have been behind this. We had a symposium with the Camogie Association about a year ago, trying to get all the kind of coaches and the players get their concerns on paper. And I think a lot of these concerns are being addressed now. So that's a positive move, and it needed to happen too, to be honest.
Damien, this is going to rumble on till 2021, and I think a bit further. But thanks a million. We're going to go for
no problem,
break.
Guys.
Game on
2FM. Weekdays from 6.